Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
I had a question come to me, and sometimes we have a doctrine and understanding. I've had many of you come to me that you might even find yourself chiding with people outside of our work, because you want to present them some of the doctrines or some of the things that you've been indoctrinated in. We have to be very careful. I know when you learn things and you agree with them and you receive them, that you have a zealousness to bring other people to this. But again, you have to be very careful and very cautious. Some of these things aren't meant to be taken out. And we'll use some scriptural references maybe for that this evening. And some people that are blind, don't have eyes to see, will never comprehend nor see. I don't make any apologies for any of the doctrines and the things that I teach you or try to teach or make an effort for you to learn or to understand. You know, some of the things that would stick out in my mind the most, you know, we teach a lot of things different than the other churches maybe do, but I teach that you are God's. You have to be very careful when you start trying to teach these kind of things or even speak about these things to people, because people are not in a mind set to even receive or to hear or to listen. And many times you just stir up controversies, and the Bible tells us, it's very clear, you know, to stay away from vain controversy. And if people just want to chide with you about doctrines of such, and they just want to argue and rail, so we just got to be very careful. You know, if you don't find a hunger, or if you perceive there's no understanding in a man, there's no need to go in and argue and chide. Again, the Bible says stay away from these vain controversies. Man, they're vain if there's no drawing. You know, I'm very willing. If a man comes and says, you know, brother, I'm in disagreement with you, and I say, well, you are. That doesn't going to make him my enemy. There's a lot of people disagreeing with me. But if I could give him the chance to possibly show me where he's in disagreement, say, well, let's go to the scriptures and the word, and could you please show me where you're in disagreement with me, because I want a better understanding of the Bible and the word myself. And I try to present myself to people in a humble way of such. You know, hey, I might be an heir here. Help me. If I am, man, I'm going to shake your hand and say thank you very much for helping me. You know, but let's go to the scriptures and to the word of God. I can think back when I was trained in selling vacuum cleaners. They said the first thing that you've got to do is get their equipment out. Because if you get their equipment out, and I know it sounds like I'm, you know, why would you even talk about something? Well, I'm teaching you a way that you got to get their equipment out of their closet for you could show them that it's really not doing the job that they think it does when they pull it out and plug it into the wall and start running over the carpet. So when you get their equipment out and you run it over and you vacuum, and then you take your equipment and go over the same spot and you pull a bunch of dirt, you don't have to be a real good salesman, do you? Because now all of a sudden. So the thing is sometimes you got to allow them to get their equipment out. You know, and they say, okay, well, this is where I believe, and this is what it is, and this is what it is. And many times you can say, well, you know what? It's just like when you get the equipment out, I'd say, hey, this don't look like too bad of a machine. Looks like the belts are all on, the beater bar's spinning, you know, the bag's blowing up. It looks like it's got power, you know, and hey, let's use it. So we take their scriptures. Oh, yeah, hey, I believe that. I agree with that. So now, sometimes you're also helping or making a friend. I'd help them by checking their machine. Hey, it looks like it's working good. Let's try it out. So now we do the same thing. Hey, you got the scriptures and the word? Yay and amen. This is the word of God, and you're right. But have you considered this? Have you considered possibly this? So a lot of times we could start out with a controversy right off the stop. You know, the Bible said, ye that win souls are wise. This is why I'm speaking to you. Sometimes you want to first find something that you're in agreement with them about. I could sit down with some Baptists, some Methodists. You know, it don't matter, the Pentecostal. I could find more things that I'm in agreement with them about than I'm in disagreement with them. And sometimes it's good to fellowship with them in the things that we agree. Hey, we both agree that Jesus died for us. We both believe that he resurrected. We both believe that he is our God and our King and our Lord. Amen. Now, we might have some different understandings and depths of understanding, but man, let's get fellowship going in the things that we're in agreement with and talk about those things. You know, if they want to talk about rapture, we could talk about their understanding of the rapture that you're in 100% agreement with. But then yet, if you can get them settled on that foundation that you're agreement, then you possibly could say, well, you know, I'm in 100% agreement with you, sir. Absolutely. That's exactly the way I believe. You know, but also we believe it like this too, because We believe in a natural and a physical and a spiritual, or a body, soul, and spirit. And then we start adding to their understanding. But sometimes people get very offensive. We try to tear down their understanding. Well, one of the questions that's come to me is about judgment. And the thing is that when people approach you about judgment, they're right. You know, who are you to judge? You know, and they're right. You know, the Bible says, judge not lest you be judged. They're right. The Bible teaches us that when you judge, that you're guilty of the very thing that you're judging about. And that's Bible too. So if I make a judgment, if I judge a man for being a drunk, does that mean I'm a drunk? Well, no. See, now we got to differentiate. But many people that do judge are guilty of the very same thing according to the Bible. See, the Bible speaks many times to the worldly people, the lost people, and it's bringing a judgment to them. And it's correcting them. And many times you'll find people that have harsh, rash judgments, they're guilty of that very thing. I see it all the time. I think of dealing with some people just here in the last little bit. And I think of what people say sometimes to other people. They'll think, well, you're selfish. And they'll say, you know, that's a judgment, isn't it? You know what, brother, or hey, sister, you're selfish. You know, and you're thinking, wow, you're calling me selfish? But then yet you look over at them and you think, wow, it looks like the deeds that you do are selfish. And the things that you're speaking about are selfish. So I find that scripture's true. I find people using judgment against other people continually saying, well, you this and you're that. You know, and they bring these allegations. And I think, wow, if there was anybody guilty of this, you're the one that's guilty of it. So the Word of God is correct and it's right. So many times they take a truth, but they get so dogmatic in this truth that the other perspectives where we have the liberty or are commanded to do such, that they totally stay so clear of that. And they get out of balance. They take one aspect. When we think of the doctrine on judgment, and I tell you that many times they press the issue and they press the doctrines in our churches that you don't have the liberty to judge. And they use the scripture so oftentimes, judge not lest you be judged. And the preachers are teaching this for one reason. Because they're guilty of sin and they don't want you judging. And they're going to try to teach you a doctrine that you can't judge because they don't want you, if ye are spiritual, judging them. Because then if you bring judgment to them, they're going to be removed out of the churches and out of the ministry because they're not fit for the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're not fit for that. So this is why this is such a strong doctrine in our day and hour, because they don't. Do you remember that when Jesus got off the boat there in the upper coast, of it got out and his spirit said, hey, are you here to judge us before our time? Man, they didn't want to be judged now. It's the same spirit. It's that same spirit that's very apparent in this day and hour. We have to be very careful because people have Bible. They have doctrines, they have scriptures, and they have word. But again, we say line upon line, precept upon precept. The Bible says that we study to show ourselves approved, a workman who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. Now, there's so many times that we could say, yes, we have Bible this, and we have Bible here. And we've got to be able to find out when. You know, we apply it all, but we got to make sure where the application is going. You understand that? We got to make sure where this is going to. There's a judgment that you don't want to judge in, and it's a self-righteous judgment or a judgment from your own mind and your own desire and from your own will. Now, if you're judging things in that order and that way, out of your fleshly, carnal mind and according to your will, and your judgment is always for your benefit and your desire, then your judgment is there. And you will bring judgment to your own self. So the scripture is correct. Judge not lest you be judged in the same manner in the same light. And this is why many people that are critical in judgment and they're harsh on people with a real harshness. And I know you listen to me preach and you think, well, you judge a pretty harshness, brother. I am strong. Jesus was too. He called them snakes, vipers. He called them devils. Was pretty strong with them. Now, you find usually when I'm directing a strength like that, it's usually towards the Antichrist, false doctrines that are being pushed so strongly in the religious order and the religious realms. And I'm coming against that because it has taken a stronghold in our world and in our country. I've wrote down some scriptural references that we'll take some time and take a look at. Now, I'm going to call on some of you to open up a scripture and then possibly read it. And Steph and Andy, why don't you right here open up 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, the 15th verse. And we'll start out reading that for we can find out when we go right over to this next scripture. Brother Mike, open up your Bible to Matthew 7, the 7th chapter. There's other places also that would refer to the same thing, but go to 7th chapter. I'll let you read there the first verse in a minute. Andy, if you would read there the scripture, 1 Corinthians 2:15, and possibly read that. Chuck, if you look up Luke 6:37, it goes right along with Matthew 7:1, just to give us a little bit of a perspective. And Brother Ed, if you'll open up your Bible to John 5:30. Okay, we're going to start out here. We're just going to, if the Lord allows, do a little bit of teaching to expound onto some of these scriptures a little bit, where we have some scriptural reference here, speak about this. So 1 Corinthians 2:15, if Andy would read that.
But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man.
I wanted to start with that, and I know we speak about this often. You know, he that is spiritual judge all things. So we know that we're right here. If we're going to number ourselves with being spiritual, if we're not spiritual, we got a lot of problems. So we're saying that they judge all things. Well, when you say, what is all things? If I'm going to judge all things, one of those things, all things, is going to begin with myself. And that's the first place to begin. The Bible says that when you judge yourself, that you won't be judged. So that's the best place to begin a judgment. I'm part of all things. You're part of all things. This is where your judgment begins. But when you judge all things, it's all matters. You've heard me say from the sacred desk, you show me a parent that has a doctrine that we can't judge, you're going to find children out of order, in bad shape. There's many times because parents aren't making the kind of judgments that they should be making, their children are having their communications corrupted because they're not making proper judgments. They're not making proper judgments on programs that they allow their children to partake of and look at. That they're looking and partaking of things, and there's not a good judgment. There needs to be a judgment in all things. What is my children doing? What is their time? What are they doing? Where are they spending it at? Who are they spending it with? This is going to come by judgment. Who is my wife fellowshipping? What kind of job is she on? Who is she fellowshipping in this job? What kind of mind is she being indoctrinated into? What kind of education are my kids getting? What kind of schooling are they in? These are very important judgments that we need to make all the time. And I know that most of the time when somebody throws that scripture at you, you know, that you can't judge, they're the ones that have just made the judgment. They've made a judgment against you because you're judging. So they're doing the very same thing they're coming against you for. They're the ones that's made a judgment. Hey, you can't judge. Well, you just judged me to tell me that you can't judge. There's judgments that have to be made all the time. And there's different realms of what we call judgment. There is a most definitely a judgment out of righteousness through the mind of God. The Bible teaches, we'll go down here and read it in just a minute, but his judgment wasn't for his own will. He wasn't seeking his own. Many times people judge because you're not fitting their lifestyle. You're not doing what they think you should be doing, for they could be benefactors of it. And all this, so now they got judgment. And a lot of times it's out of a selfishness, out of a greed, out of all for themselves. And if that's the judgment that you're doing, yes, you're going to bring judgment to you. Brother Mike, why don't you read 7 and read it all the way down to verse 6.
Judge not ye that ye may be judged. For with judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measures ye mete, all shall be measured to you again. And while beholdest thou mote that is in thy brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in your own eye. Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out thy mote out of thy own eye, and behold, a beam is in thy own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thy own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast out ye pearls before swine, lest ye trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you.
I wanted to read all 6 verses here, but this is the one that you usually hear. They usually go to verse 1. It says, judge not that ye be not judged. And that's usually where they stop, right there. Now, the thing is if you look at the whole scope of those first 6 verses, you're going to find something in there that you're dealing with some problems. Number one, they're a hypocrite, they were called. I don't want to be judged by some hypocrite. There's a lot of people that live a life of a hypocrite, but they're usually the ones that want to bring the strongest judgment. I've been judged by hypocrites on a continuous basis. A hypocrite is an actor. It's somebody that acts like a Christian, somebody that talks like a Christian, somebody presents themselves like they're a Christian, but you don't see no Christ-like attributes in their life nowhere. And they're the ones that will bring the harshest judgment. But when you look at this, the scriptures is right. If you're drinking and partaking of alcohol, and then you turn and judge somebody, and you say, hey, brother, man, what's wrong with you, man? You're not supposed to be drinking. Man, you know that's wrong. You're going to find yourself in hell, and you bring that judgment in. Well, you just judge yourself. You just let the Lord know, well, you know that's wrong because you just rebuked that man for it, and you judged him, so you brought judgment to yourself. Now God knows. See, the Bible said sin is not imputed lest there be a knowledge of it. Well, you just made a verbal expression that you knew that this isn't right, that it's sin. So now it could be brought back to you because you've expressed that it's wrong for him, so now it's wrong for you because you have the knowledge of it. So what did you do? You brought judgment to your own self. So the scriptures are real, but it's not telling us there not to judge, but it's telling us if we do judge, we're going to bring that judgment to us if we're guilty of the very same thing. You know, so we go back to the first scripture, says, ye that are spiritual judge all things. So are they telling us that, hey, you judge, you're going to bring this judgment? Yes, it is. But we're spiritual. So when we're bringing judgment or judging these matters, we're not judging them to be self-righteous or to be better than them. We're making a judgment because we're concerned about them. We love them. And we're trying to lead them out of the things that are error and the things that would cause them to stumble or the things that would cause them to fall. Now, Chuck, was it you had Luke 6:37? Why don't you read that? I believe it's going to go right along with this particular scripture.
Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven.
Now, it brought one other thing. It said, condemn not, and you won't be condemned. So now when you think of judge not and you won't be judged, it's the same thing we're speaking about, just another scripture here. But then it talks about forgiveness. We go to a positive thing. We show forgiveness and we receive forgiveness. So we understand this. You know, Jesus himself said that he didn't come to condemn the world. You know, so then why would he send us to condemn it? You see, but on the other hand, again, the Bible teaches that judgment begins in the house of God. So we have to take and really understand. There are scriptures that would seem controversial, almost like they would contradict themselves. But they really don't when you understand it. Because there's certain things that we do as sons of God that was given to us as the sons of God to do. So the first thing, the reason the religious realms or worldly people don't understand it, because the first thing they don't really understand is even sonship. They don't understand sons of God. They talk about Jesus and him alone. But you know, he was the firstborn of many brethren, and now we are the sons of God. And you know, we have a lot of authority and a lot of power that the worldly people do not have. And most of us walk far below the privileges that really have been granted to us as the children and the sons of God. And it's simply for one reason, is because we have a lack of faith. I mean, I think of Jesus when he was in the boat, and he said, oh, you have little faith. You know, why couldn't you speak to the storm? You know, you get all tore out of shape here. Why didn't you speak to the storm? It's a lack of having faith. So we all walk far below. I can testify to you tonight. Confess to you, maybe I should say, that I walk far below the privileges that I have as a son of God. And there's a mind that lays within the members of my flesh that wars against these things of God. That if I could totally surrender to the spirit life and the spirit world of Jesus Christ, that maybe we could be doing what we read here in the book of Acts and about some of these things, or we were testifying about Brother William Branham and Brother Pike, and we could have maybe the kind of testimonies that these kind of men had, because we have applied ourselves into a greater perspective in Christ, and then the potentialities in our life with faith in our hearts and our life will bring forth a vindication or a manifestation or an evidence of great awesome works. Amen. And we'll be moving and like to turn the world upside down. I had John 5:30. Did you get that, Brother Ed? I want you to read that. It's in the Gospel of John 5:30. Now this is talking about helping us to understand what judgment we judge in. You know, Jesus is an example how he did things, of how we should as the sons of God. Amen. So Brother Ed's going to read John 5:30 to us.
I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me.
If our judgment is like this, it's going to be righteous judgment. Again, as I said just a moment ago, many times people judge out of a selfishness. They judge because they're passing a judgment on you because your life doesn't fit their need and what they want or what they desire of you. You see, it's not my will. It's the Lord's will. What is the Lord's will for that man that you might have to bring judgment to? The Lord's will for that man is to be saved and to be set free, to be delivered. The sick need a physician. You know, but if we judge with a harsh judgment, and many times we judge people to make ourselves better than them, we judge to make us more righteous than them, and we judge to expose their weaknesses for we can feel more strong. But see, that's judging out of our own will, not the will of the Lord. The will of God, judgment to them is going to bring repentance. You know, the Bible said some men's sins go before and some after. You know, the ones that go before is going to receive judgment now. The ones that go after is going to receive judgment later. Then it's too late. You see, I want judgment now. The scriptures say the judgment begins in the house of God. If you don't receive the judgment now and you come to a doctrine, well, you can't judge, you know, this and that, then you're going to receive a judgment hereafter. And that judgment is going to be against sin, the transgression of the law, and it's going to put you into eternal damnation. So, but if you allow the judgment to begin now in the house of God, like the Bible says, then you'll stand it on this side. And it'll be dealt with on this side, and you'll stand on the other side, the judgment for the rewards for your labors and the things that you've done for God. Go over to the Gospel of John 7:24. Go ahead, Billy, and read that.
Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment.
Now, if it says to judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment, so there's a differentiation here again. So if there is a differentiation taking place here and we're judging according to an appearance, then our judgment would sound like it would be error. Is this correct? And there are many times, you know, even the laws of our land, they have laws against racial profiling. Now, the thing is, after this 9-1-1, there was many of them that would, I guess, appear to be innocent, kind people, you know, maybe law-abiding people. But people were profiling them and they was having troubles. Hey, they let all these other guys get on the airplane, but why do they push me over the side? You know, why are they searching my bags? There was a lot of lawsuits that went before the courts in our country after 9-1-1 for these Arab people because they were looking at them and saying, hey, well, you know, sorry, you know, it's these other guys that, you know, wear the same kind of headdress that you wear that brought bombs on our airplanes and overtook them and stuff. Now they got laws against that. In our land. You know, but it says here, judge not according to appearance. So would that be righteous judgment? See, it wouldn't be righteous judgment for me to, so to speak, jack this guy up because he's got a turban on his head. Now, righteous judgment would have discerned if the guy was evil or right, and he would have discerned it possibly that way and then dealt with it accordingly. And it's a tough place. I understand that. If we're going to exercise the liberty or the right to judge things, we want to judge things spiritually by the mind of God. The thing is, let me help out here just a little bit more. You hear me preaching doctrine. Now, when I talk about this long-haired, sissy-fied looking guy, the Gaither guy, you hear me say some, I guess we're going to have to say harsh things. But see, here's a man that represents himself, number one, as a Christian. He's up in the bright lights. He's out before all the youth and all the people there, and he wants to present himself as a minister of music. It grieves my spirit. This is why I speak this way. So now you're walking down through High Point or something, and you're in the mall, and you see some guy with long hair, and you're thinking, well, I heard my preacher say, look at this sissified looking this and that. And so you may be in trouble there. That man may not know. He may have ever heard a doctrine of such, may have never read that in the Bible. You know, so then you're bringing a judgment. Now, the thing is like I told you, the minister that came to our church, oh man, I listened to you on the radio and I just wanted to get over here. You were saying things I've never heard. And man, I was excited about coming over here. He wasn't too excited after we had some one-on-one. But if he was an old hippie that wasn't even a Christian and he wandered by or said, hey, I was driving through town here on radio, I said, man, I don't know anything about this stuff. I had a man show up in church in short pants. But then, you know, there was a preacher. I wouldn't let him in the door. The preacher came in short pants. I wouldn't let him in the door. I said, hey, buddy, you're a minister. You ain't coming in here like that. He was coming over to help us. But then yet I had another man and let him come on in. Sit down and hear the gospel. I said, we're a holiness church. Oh, you are? Okay. What's that? I said, it means we don't dress like this. We don't wear short pants to church. We don't wear them nowhere. You understand that? So maybe it wouldn't have been righteous judgment to judge that man and not let him in the church. I mean, it was just a heathen. But then yet the preacher, when you're going to say, hey, I'm a preacher, you're making a statement. I'm not a novice. If you're a preacher and you've been sent out, in other words, you're saying, hey, I'm not a novice. Well, novices wear long hair. You understand that? If you're going to say you're a minister and you're crawled up to the upper lintels to be on TBN and to be with all this stuff. So I'm saying, you know, you got to know better. So, you know, you could say, maybe my judgment is too harsh. Maybe it's self-righteous. I'm dealing with a minister that's causing other people to walk and do the same thing. I'm very strict when it comes to ministers because people say, hey, this is a minister. A lot of people don't have good doctrine and good understanding. They say, hey, if the preacher's doing it, it's okay. I've done things here in this church since I've been pastoring. I said, man, I've come behind and said, I'm sorry. So it was an uncertain sound, caused problems. It ain't going to happen again. I might have had a liberty. If eating meat causes my brother to stumble, offends him, I need to stay away from it. So I'd apologize, say, hey, man, I'm sorry, brother. Let's go get a salad. I like salad. We're not eating no ham chunks in the salad today. I want to win souls, amen. The sad thing is there's things in our lives, could be smoking that this brother's testifying to, that he said he couldn't be a good witness. And there are things that we make allowances for, that when we go to witness or testify God to somebody, we can't, because that thing speaks so loud. And say, man, who are you? You can't get victory over that? You can't get victory over that? How in the world are you going to tell me about this Bible or about this Word of God? You can't do it. Well, that's good, and I appreciate to hear that, Brother David. And we'll trust the Lord and pray with you, and you know it's that they all continue not to look good, continue not to desire them, continue to smell terrible and awful. Because it is. It's a nasty, filthy, stinking habit. I mean, it just stinks. Brother Pike said it, all it does is show the smoke coming out of the abyss of hell every time it comes out of your mouth. We've got to get rid of those things, amen? I don't think you'll find a man in hell for smoking. He'll be there because he don't have the Holy Ghost. But there's evidence when a man's doing that, that there'll be speaking that, hey, you can't have God's Spirit down there in that vessel at the same time, all that smoke. So, you know, it's an outward sign of something going on in your life that you need to get delivered of and do away with. Brother Jonathan, turn your Bible over to Romans, the 2nd chapter, and read the 1st verse, please. When we think of judgment, there's a pretty wide path there that we got to consider. Romans, 2nd chapter, 1st verse.
Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God?
Amen. We spoke about this just a moment ago, and there again it's speaking about a judgment. We have to differentiate judgment. When is this kind of a judgment that they're speaking about here, and you're guilty of the same thing. You see, this isn't a righteous judgment by the mind of God, by the will of God, by the life of Christ. You know, when people come with these kind of complaints and gripes, they're right. People get vexed and grieved with people bringing judgment on them. And many times the judgment is self-righteous. And you don't like it, nor do I like it. And many times those ones that are bringing that kind of a judgment to you are guilty of that one and very, very same thing. So again, we got a wide, broad path of judgment. Let's look on over in Romans just a little bit farther over to 14th chapter. 14:13 there. It says, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Now this is a way to judge your judgment. Is it causing a stumbling block to your brother? You know, we as brethren, we work together. Yeah, sometimes we're pretty harsh on our judgments one towards another. The Lord suffers that many times. You know, we might be working together, hashing things out and doing things of such. What is your purpose of your judgment to your brother? I mean, if you're going to cause him a stumbling block, you know, and you're going to cause him to fall, you know, ye that are spiritual, restore that one. Help him. So evidently your judgment must not be a spiritual judgment. Now, sometimes a judgment that is righteous and spiritual, yes, it could be strong. I've heard some strong judgment. And it caused a fulfillment, changed the course of a man's life. You know, that judgment could cause and change the course of an individual's life and could cause it to come to an end. What do you think it was when Peter rebuked Ananias? Well, could somebody tell me what that was? When he said, you lied against the Holy Ghost. Now, would somebody define what he did there as judgment? Somebody help me out here. Any comments? I mean, wouldn't you say that was judgment? He said, you lied against the Holy Ghost? Why didn't Ananias look at him and say, hey, who are you to judge? You're guilty of the same thing. What's the deal there? But Peter cast the judgment, and what happened? The judgment brought forth an action, and the man gave up the ghost. He died. You know, that's judgment. So we see we got to understand line upon line, precept upon precept. There's a place for judgment. There's a time for judgment. The Bible teaches that. You know, again, ye that are spiritual, judge all things. Judgment, again, begins in the house of God. The Bible says we have the ability or the power to bless or to curse. Now, if we decide to curse, how are we going to do that? It's going to be a form of judgment. But then Jesus didn't come to condemn or curse this world, but then yet left us with the authority and the power to do so. And the Bible teaches that the Father's not going to judge, but he left the judgment to the Son. And then when Jesus was speaking, he was talking about leaving it, you know, the judgment to the Father. So then the Father gives it to who? The Son. And who are we? We're the sons of God. If people won't subject to the judgment that's coming forth from the sacred desk and from the church, then they're going to get it on the other side. People that don't want judgment are going to receive a judgment. That judgment's going to be damnation. It's going to bring destruction and death. If, again, I'm going to go back to that scripture, some men's sins go before and some after. Maybe you don't understand that. I do. If ours are going to go before the Lord now, and you say, well, Jesus died on the cross for my sin, this, that, and I say, yea and amen. But what about willful sin? See, it's another factor altogether there. And people don't like to talk about that. I told you the little self-righteous boy walking into Golden Corral up there. And I wasn't talking to him. I was talking with the man that was with me. And I said, you know, the problem with the church, well, they don't understand the blood of Jesus. And the Bible does say that the blood of Jesus atones for all sin. So what are you going to say about that? Well, the Bible's correct and yea and amen and it's right. And I say it does and it is. Yea and amen. But then it also teaches that it doesn't atone for willful sin. So then does that mean that that other scripture is wrong? It took away all sin, brothers and sisters, all sin to the flesh. All sin to the flesh was taken care of. And you'll never stand accountable to God for the sin of the flesh. So it did. The scripture's 100% accurate. It took away all sin of the flesh. But then there's a sin of the soul that's a different perspective altogether. And you say, well, it didn't atone for that? It didn't cover that? If it didn't, then we're in trouble. Well, when it atoned and took away the sin of the flesh, and you had accepted this and come into it by faith, then it leaves that dimension and it atones and takes care. But there's an action on your part because you left that dimension of the flesh and now ye are spiritual and you're led by the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, and you found that he has perfected you before the world ever was. And you believe that, you receive it by faith in God and you're walking in the Spirit and you cannot sin. You know why you cannot? Because you never have sinned ever one time in your entire life. And you say, that don't make sense. The Bible said all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Well, I wasn't speaking to you that way. You see, you can't say that. Well, see, this is where we start differentiating between the spirit man and the natural man. The natural man is sin. It was born in sin and iniquity. It's dead. It's gone. It's buried. Don't you believe that? I mean, how could that man be guilty of sin when he's dead? He's gone and buried and dead and been crucified with Christ before the world ever was. Buried and put away. Then we come to an understanding that we go through another, bury it again in baptism. And we resurrect in a new creature in Christ Jesus. So why do you want to keep talking about that sin man? He's gone. If you know that somebody killed somebody and they've been hiding away from the law and stuff, and all of a sudden now they found him, they're dead. Well, let's dig him up and bring him over to the courtroom, man, and set him up in the chair, man, before we judge him. Don't make much sense, does it? You see, we differentiate here and understand. But I'm not to know even Jesus after the flesh. Know no man after the flesh. That's what the Bible says. So where's our judgment come in at? It's not to the flesh or of the flesh or from the flesh. If it is, then it's unrighteous. All flesh is unrighteous. So our judgment is spiritual by the Spirit. So what are we doing, Brother Rob? We're judging the Spirit? No, we're judging the Spirit that's manifesting in the fleshly actions of a man and his attributes, and we make the judgment to whoever they are of. You know, that's what the Bible said. Try the Spirit and see if it would be of God. It's easy to know when they're of God. And sometimes things look good and sound good and look righteous and sound right. You say, that's God. No, not always. There's a deceiver. There's a familiar spirit, a similar spirit. So we need to be spiritual and have spiritual discernment that we could know. And now when we come to judgment, then we can understand where the judgment's coming from. Sometimes we're too quick to reject judgment. And if we're spiritual, we're going to receive it because we benefit from it and grow therein. It said again, if you would judge your own selves, you're not judged. So if I'm judging my own self, why would I reject judgment that would come from somebody else? I need to receive it. We grow in the grace and knowledge of God. The Bible talks about a fool won't receive reproof, but a wise man will. A wise man will receive reproof from a fool and grow in understanding and wisdom from it. But a fool will never receive a reproof from a wise man. That's what the Bible says. I'm just telling you the Word of God. We need to understand it. Amen. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians. We'll just read just a little bit more here. 1 Corinthians 6. Let's just go to the first verse. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to the law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? Well, how am I going to do that if I'm going to go to this one passage of Scripture and think I'm going to say, judge not? Didn't it say that we're going to judge? Who are we going to judge? The world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? Now, come on, listen to this. Angels? We're going to judge angels? Come on now, think about it. What is an angel? I guess God's going to allow me to judge him one day. Hey, you got your diaper on crooked there and your wings ain't been polished. I mean, people, that's what they think about when they think of angels. Some little baby-looking thing floating around with a bow and arrow. You know what I'm saying? What about the angel of the Lord? And we think of the appearing. You know, when you think of angels, brothers and sisters, beware when you entertain strangers because they may be angel, unaware. You understand that? You see, brothers, there are angels around about us on a continuous basis, encamped around about us all the time. And when you have a man in your face or a woman in your face, there is an angel that's dwelling in that individual that's making it speak, that's making it talk, that's making it think, that's making it walk and do everything it does. There's dark angels, fallen angels. Do you realize that there is an angelic world that is so much more populated and plentiful and so more busy than this world that you see with your eyes? You see, when people think of angels in the everyday perspective, as when I went up to the hospital to pray for this little young fellow that was dying of cancer, and his dad came to me and says, do you believe in angels? Well, sure I do. He says, I believe an angel appeared to us today. My wife was very troubled and very heavy. You know, hey, her son's dying. And this individual came up and said, ma'am, you look very burdened and very heavy. May I pray with you? And he prayed a prayer with them, prayed for the lady, and left. And they said, man, we looked around and he's gone. We think it was an angel. He said, what do you think, Brother Rob? I said, I know it was. There's not a doubt in my mind. It was the angel of the Lord that was dwelling in a man. You know, do you think it was one that just appeared and prayed and then departed and is gone? And I said, no. I could say nay and yay, or I could say I could say no when I'm really meaning yes. But for his concept of thoughts, no, I don't believe it's what he thought. About an angel, a spiritual being all of a sudden just taking on an appearance. Now this can happen. I'm not discounting that. But I don't believe that's what happened there. I hear about it. People say, man, I was in a car wreck, you know, and nobody was around. And this man came up, you know, this and that in white suit and helped me out of the car. And the car blew up and caught on fire. You know, I say, praise God. Yes, I'm sure that the Lord could allow such things happen. I'm not going to limit God. But many times there's people in their mind and their thoughts. But yes, it was an angel. But see, if I go do a kind act, if I was in that hospital and you all know me and you know I'm a pastor and I'm going through and I look over and discern a woman and I see her spirit very heavy, I say, ma'am, are you okay? You look very burdened and very troubled. Would it be okay if I had a word of prayer with you? I've done this. On not once, not twice, on numerous occasions, I've done this. And then I go on. You know, nobody knew that guy. Nobody knew him. I bet it was an angel. Well, it was the angel of the Lord. He lives and dwells in me and concerned for this individual. And it was an act of righteousness and kindness to do such a thing. Now, I know we got off on the matter about judgment, but it's talking about judging the angels. You see, and we do. I judge them on a daily basis. Is this spirit of God? You see, when you think of a spirit and an angel, there's fallen angels, dark spirits, fallen spirits, evil angels. When the tail wrapped around a third of the stars and cast out, those are angels it's speaking about being cast out of heavenly places. So yes, we're making these judgments because these things are looking for a place of inhabitation to come in and inhabit people. And we're making judgments on a continuous basis. We have to. Back to verse 1. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to the law before the unjust and not before the saints? So here's a scripture that would be contrary to this doctrine that they're out there telling us to go to the saints for judgment. Would you agree with that? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world, and the world shall be judged by you? Are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more then that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgment of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church? According to this, when you think about the least of us in the church, I'll tell you what, many times we'd rather have the least in a church judge before some of this wicked judge and wicked judgment that's out here in what we call the courts of America in our land. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to the law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore, this is utterly a fault among you, because ye go to the law one with another. Why do ye not rather take wrong? Why do ye not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, ye do wrong, and defraud, and that your brethren. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor infamous, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Let me stop there. It goes on. Thieves, covetant, drunkards, revelers, extortioners, inherit the kingdom of God. We need to understand the word and the scriptures. This scripture here about taking our matters to the courts. You see, if you're walking in the Spirit, you're submitted under the headship of the ministry, and you have a church with a pastor that's willing to judge all matters. And if you would come to him and receive the judgment, the counsel, and the direction and the will of God, there's no need to go into courts. But when an individual is rebellion and don't take counsel and don't take headship and thinking too highly of himself, and then they're doing worldly things, it's bringing actions and bringing problems to the ministry or the saints of God or the children of God, and they're causing laws of this land to be broken, and they're breaking laws of this land, then the thing is you let the law deal with the lawless. You understand that? When I buy property, I've got to go to their judgment system and their things to make sure all the paperwork and everything's in order to go through their system. It's sad that it's that way. They've got the system so tightened up now, you can't get your electricity on. You can't do nothing, and it's hard to go around that. So we find ourselves having to subject to many things. Just like we have the authority to bind people together in the name of Jesus Christ in marriage, we still got to go through the laws of the land. And we got to send the paperwork in and go through all the bells and whistles, we might say, that this thing would be registered, for you would be legally married to conduct, to purchase, to bank, and do the things in this world. So we find ourselves having to do it. Divorce is the same way. I know that there's places in the scriptures for divorce. You know, the Bible teaches about hardness of heart. It's a sad thing. You know, but there's place in the scriptures and there's an allowances for it. But there again, it's going to find itself going to the laws of the land, and that's what they've got to do. So many times, as I've quoted to you before, where Brother Pike made a statement, he said, you know, you got no say-so in the matter. Sometimes people don't have say-so in certain matters because of their conduct and the way that they're doing. If they would come, you know, again, let's talk about judgment. If you would come to the house of God for judgment, then you won't be judged. You'll be judged now here, but I mean, you won't be judged on the other side. But if you don't subject yourself to the judgment in the house of God, you will receive judgment on the other side. Again, some men sins before, some after. The thing is, you might think, well, Brother Rob's just too hard. You know, Brother Rob's just too harsh. This is pretty easy compared to what's the judgment on the other side. We'll never have a chance to open your mouth. I want to hear, thou good and faithful servant, well done, enter thou in. I don't want to hear, you worker of iniquity, depart from me. I never knew you. And it says that these demons, spirits will take them and bind them hand and foot and cast them into the lake of fire. You know, that's judgment of God. This is judgment of God now with grace and mercy. When it's judgment on that side, the blood's off the mercy seat and it's very strong. It's not going to be like going to the courts, well, let me hear your case. He don't need to hear your case. He knows all things. He knows more about you than you know. You understand that? And that judgment is going to be stern and prompt. You'll never have a chance to reason. Never have a chance to say, oh, make an excuse. It's what alarms me about people that make excuses now. When they're full of excuses, well, you know, well this and well that, and well, I'm sorry, well, maybe this. That's sad, because that don't work with God when you always have an excuse. You know, we're in a nation of people full of excuses. They don't receive reproof. They don't receive rebuke. And they've got an excuse for everything. I mean, you wouldn't believe the excuses I've heard. Well, it's really my mama's fault because, you know, my mother was a wretch, you know, or my mother beat me. Oh, my father molested me, or my mama molested me, or, you know, my daddy was a drunk. Well, my mother was a whore. You know, hey, get over it. You're the one that's wretched. Do you think if your daddy was no good, it gives you justification to be a dog? Or if your mama was no good, it gives you justification? You know, people want to try this pity party stuff on you all the time. And I understand spirits of inheritance and these things passed down from generations, and I know how to deal with that, but I'm not going to pet it, not going to feel sorry for it. But that's what people want you to do. They want you to feel sorry for that. Well, if you just understood. Well, if you only knew. Spirits are terrible. I mean, they'll take a man and they'll have his mind so balled up and so messed up. I'll go ahead and get you to stand, but does anybody have any scripture references? I mean, sometimes, you know, a scripture might come to thought to you and say, well, you know, I'd be a good scripture for this judgment aspect. Lord, deal with you. Any comments or thoughts? Chuck, go ahead. Amen. Brother Chuck didn't have the microphone. He said, man judgeth the outward appearance, but God looks on. We did read a scripture, Cornelius said, about judging from the outward appearance. And it said that his judgment wasn't that way. The thing is that we need to be the very same way, because there's a lot of times, like I said about the long hair, you hear me say that, so you think you see a guy with long hair and all of a sudden you condemn him to hell because he has long hair. You see a woman wearing a pair of slacks and you condemn her to hell because she's wearing slacks. You know, that's a judgment that you're looking on the outward perspective, and that woman might really love the Lord with all of her heart. And she's never come to a doctrine or an understanding of holiness. Never been taught that. It's not being taught in this day and hour. You know, it's sad to say that. You know, God could be merciful to them and work with them and be long-suffering with them. And then sometimes they could reject it with a self-righteousness and come against the Word of God. And then they bring judgment to themselves. Any other comments or references to the Word or Scriptures? All right, let's sing a song or two and we'll go on, close the service here. Remember these prayer requests that we spoke forth here just a moment ago? Let's remember them. Hold them up in prayer. Try to invite somebody to come out to church. We should be continually trying to encourage people to the house of God. I appreciate your time this evening. I hope you received, hopefully were edified and learned. I don't try to make simple things complicated by no means, but sometimes we have to learn to look at things and understand the way other people see them, because they're not always altogether wrong. They just take a partial truth and they'll take it and build a wall with it where they won't even hear the rest of the truth or the rest of the reality or differentiate the Word of God. And many times we understand maybe another dimension of the same truth without really understanding their dimension or where they're speaking of it at. And it makes you very unskilled in converting or indoctrinating them, because they have a truth that maybe you don't understand, because what they're saying is right and it's true. But sometimes we got to go on. And I know in many times indoctrinating and teaching, I'll go over maybe to a dimensional perspective of thought and teaching on things, assuming that you have a pretty good understanding of maybe their side. I've known men that came to this doctrine, or we could call some revelational doctrine, like it's said under Brother Pike, that never were indoctrinated outside of that doctrine. Some could say, well, that's good, and it is good, because a lot of times they don't war with stuff because they weren't taught it, and it can be a good thing. But on the other hand, I find men that were indoctrinated on the other perspective, on the other side, then they come to the revelation of it, and they really understand it, and they've learned to differentiate the truth. Those are many times more capable of teaching and understanding and helping others to come to an understanding of a truth. Because again, many times that other doctrine is truth and it's right because they got scriptural references, but again, they failed to go on or line upon line or differentiating the Word of God. Amen. As we close the service here, we'll get Brother Billy to come up and dismiss us. I love y'all and appreciate you. Let's win a soul. Let's tell somebody about Jesus. Let's invite somebody to the house of God. Let's live a life before people that convicts people, that when they just merely in your presence, they feel the convicting power of the Holy Ghost because of your actions and your lifestyle. You know, if you walk in righteousness and holiness and in love, just your presence without ever opening your mouth, people will be convicted of sin. I understand my granddaughters went over to help do some moving the other day, and there was a young man that it sounded like he fell under conviction just simply because of the way these girls were dressed. What is this? Why do you dress like this? Some would think it's not necessary, but if it gives you an opportunity to testify Jesus Christ, I think it's good, amen.
Amen.
To look different, dress different, act different, talk different, amen. The Bible again says, dress as becometh holiness, amen. Be holy, amen. In your speech, in your actions, in your dress, in your life, in your conversation, let it project the love of God. And the love of God is holiness, amen. And without it, no man will see Him nor know Him. Amen. I love you and appreciate you. God bless you.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the Brothers and Sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.